Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I see you there. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the big show. 60 minutes on the clock. We'll take you all the way up till 4. The Blitz will take you home till 7. We are here at Cowboys and Indians.
I thought you were going to rhyme more. You're like, hey, here we go, final hour of the big show, 60 minutes on the clock, tick-tock, you don't stop. Like, no, you totally missed it.
No, I didn't miss anything. Okay. I did what I wanted to do.
Well, there's that.
Rhyming was something I used to do.
There's apparently another police chase, and people are wanting us to do play-by-play, and that's not our thing.
Nope.
You're going to have to wait till 4 o'clock when the Blitz comes on. We don't do that. We're not stealing their thunder, their bit. That's theirs. We're
not
doing that.
It's not what we do.
No.
We make fun of their bits. We don't steal them.
That's right. I was just talking to AJ about the woo of the day. Somebody was like, do you remember what day that was? No, I don't.
You do realize what kind of life someone leads when Juggalo Trey was extremely desperate to find and excited to hear about another police chase on TV and then tweeted, hell yeah, found it. Double exclamation mark.
Super excited. Super excited.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody said, I guess the best April Fool's prank ever was my youngest daughter being born. That's her birthday.
Oops.
Somebody else said, I'm an April Fool's baby. That was my prank. So that would kind of suck. Like, I've always thought it would suck to be born on April Fool's and Christmas.
Something just Christmas, hit me now that you said that.
A Christmas birthday would be the worst.
Oh, yeah, because from a present standpoint, it sucks.
Because then if you bitch about not getting presents, they always say, well, do you think Jesus complained about not getting presents?
And you know you're
going to... Well, no, but his dad was God.
You're not getting double the presents of the other kids. You're getting the same amount.
Look, if your dad is God and you want a big wheel, guess what? Big wheel just appears. You don't have to worry about it. That's not fair to compare people to Jesus on their birthday. That's unfair.
Yeah, you get screwed on the presents, though.
That would really suck. Yeah. And then I think when you make it through about like 6 to 12, they give you, okay, here's your Christmas presents, here's your birthday presents. But then after 12, they're just like, yeah, you're too old. You're just getting the one.
Yep.
You just get the one Atari and that's it or whatever the hell you're getting.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Somebody said replace all the candy with sugar-free candy and tell them April Fools. That was from Tracy. That ain't right.
No.
Don't prank your kids with candy. This is how – you know who else did that? The Menendez parents.
Oh, see. You're just having a field day today, aren't you? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Cops must be in the vicinity. Is Jordan's finally going to move out of the handicapped parking spot?
Good for you, Jordan. That's a way. I saw 3 people pass by in a wheelchair, but it's cool. It's whatever. You just park where you want to park, you a-hole. Yeah. Watch one guy just come by.
He's got mustard on the heel of his shoe, and he still doesn't have a microphone, but is still insisting on yelling
mustard.
Loud enough
well,
to try and get
to
on.
Well, to be fair, we talked to him. We talked to him, so it's not, I mean, you know, it that's our bad.
Okay, my bad. I'll take it.
This guy, we actually have a guy that wants to know. All right, his name is Dustin.
Okay.
He said, I'm a worship leader, and April Fool's falls on Easter. How should I prank my church from the stage?
Wow.
So here's what I would do. I would go up and start your sermon or whatever it's called. I don't know what exactly it's called.
I think you're right.
But start doing your thing and then pretend to be to be possessed. And then just start. Like, you remember Robert Tilton, how he used to talk in tongues? He would be doing it. He was like, now put your hand on the screen. Oh, by Sapa. Let's hang up both hands. And you're like, what the hell did he just say? He's like, that's just tongues. That's just Jesus talking through me. Do that. Just start talking in tongues.
That'd be entertaining.
Yeah, or just act like you're possessed.
I'm or sure. Tell him that Joel Osteen is going to show up and they're going to start a hurricane drive
man.
And then
no.
go, oh, he's not coming.
No, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Nobody wants to see him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They don't.
I think there's still a lot of people that are bitter about all that.
That's one of my best jokes.
Is it?
Yeah, I have a really good joke about Joel Osteen and Hurricane Harvey. You should come out and see it sometime. Not you. I know you're not coming. I'm saying the people.
Okay.
Should come out and see it sometime.
AT&T Sportsnet wants to know for tonight's poll question, what's your favorite Harden offensive move? Your three choices, the step back three, the Euro step, or the alley-oop pass to Capella? Why would you even include
one of those things is not like the others.
Yeah. It's either the step back, the Euro step.
Or what about the jab step?
I was going to say, or the jab step.
There's the step back, the Euro step, but there's also now he's got this side step. It's not necessarily a step back. He'll jab step forward, and then he steps to the side and shoots a three.
He does, and he travels.
So there's the step back, the side step, and he travels.
That's Steve Kerr's big point of contention that he travels.
I'm going to say I'm really liking the side step. The new he's done it recently. He started doing it more recently, but I really like the fact. I like the step back, but everybody's doing a step back three now.
I don't think anybody does it better.
Maybe not better or more consistently than him.
Everybody associated the Euro step with him right off the top, but now I think everybody realizes that step back because he does jab right at the defender, pulls back, and then how deadly accurate he is from three when he shoots it. Man, that's a tough move.
And here's why you don't sleep on the side step three, because I think people got they know he's going to jab step. Like you were saying yesterday about him tipping his hand and kind of showing what he's going to do. People probably started picking up on the fact that, oh, this is a step back three right here. He's not going to try to drive. So if you can start to detect that, then you can start to just jump, right? And you can jump forward and you can get to his landing space a little bit and make it uncomfortable. So now incorporating a side step, like instead of going backwards now, you're jumping to the side.
Space still, yeah.
You're creating even more space because now they don't know, do I need to jump straight at you or jump to the side to defend what's about to come? It's why he probably doesn't even get enough credit for being as creative as he is offensively.
Now, I know there's a lot of Kool-Aid drinkers out there that are going to go, whoa, why do you – but can we all agree he's not the greatest offensive player to ever play the game? I mean, this is the new thing. Daryl Morey started it with he may be the best isolation player, one-on-one player in the history of the game. And it got a life of its own thanks to Ben DuBose and people like that that have not only drank the Kool-Aid, but they like to go out and get stroked by the management. But when you look at it, there's Michael Jordan, there's Kobe Bryant, there's LeBron James. There's all these different players that have been doing it for such a length of time and putting up numbers and all these other things. It's a little too early and premature to call him the best offensive player to ever play the game.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
There's just guys,
tip of the cap, MVP, doing it all. Last 3 years, unbelievable numbers, doing everything as good as anybody in the league. But to call him the best ever, it's a reach.
I was thinking about this last night when I was writing my article, and I was going to save it for later when he won the MVP. But it's probably worth mentioning now. Isn't it funny that a couple of years ago, I don't know if it was the first MVP run or if it was – the year after when he played so badly. So he lost the MVP to Steph Curry.
Second year. Yeah, it was the year after.
The second year, someone asked him, do you think you're the best player on the planet? And he said, yeah, I do. I am the best player on the planet. No one is better than me. And everybody made fun of him. Everybody was like, oh, maybe you haven't heard of and I was included. Maybe you hadn't heard of a guy named LeBron James. Maybe you haven't heard of this guy and that guy, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. But look who's either won or come in second in the MVP three of the last 4 years. No one else can make
that
claim.
I've said it here over and over. But I'll tell you this, though.
No one else can make that claim. So how far off was James Harden when he said, yeah, I'm the best player on the planet? Because when he wants to play defense, he can play defense. He's at the top in steals. He guards big men down low in the post. He's a great low post defender. Well, not great. He's a good low post defender, especially when he's outsized. When he wants to play defense, he can play good defense. He probably is the best scorer in the game today.
Here's the thing. For all the people that are going to come at me now because of what I just said, they need to learn something. It's not a slap in the face to James. It's just too soon. For everything that you've said, too, I agree with. And I've said over and over and preached on this show, if you look at the last 4 years, and especially sans the year that you're talking about where he had a drop-off because of the Kardashian curse and other things, you look at the 3 years of the last four and put them all together, it's hard to argue that he wasn't the best player in the league for the last 4 years. And also, it's the easiest thing in the world for me to say right now, he's the best offensive player in the game.
I feel like you just said what I said.
That's what I'm saying. But there's a huge difference between saying that and saying this is the best offensive player ever.
No, ever is, yeah, that's a whole different thing. But I'm saying it's not 4 years ago or 3 years ago, I think everyone made fun of Harden in a way for coming out and proclaiming on Team USA, right? It was during Team USA when he said he felt like he was the best player on the planet. And people were like, yeah, you're playing with Curry and LeBron. And he was like, yeah, I know, but I'm the best. And people made fun of him. I don't know if he was that far off right now. Would I take LeBron over him? Absolutely. But
the other thing is, and again,
he's
you touched
doing
on
things
it,
that are pretty damn impressive.
He's finally doing things defensively so that he doesn't have that butt. Because everybody can say, well, you're not the best player in the game because you don't play defense
play
and all
one,
that
yeah,
other stuff.
The best offensive, but not overall. But he's and I think a lot of it for Harden, I mean, I think there's no doubt. Harden's biggest problem is motivation. When he's motivated, he can be the best. But the problem is you got to make sure he's motivated.
Speaking of that that guy and the coach that likes to be critical of that guy, Steve Kerr, we will have some audio for you as well. He did a podcast with one of the big writers on the Tim Kamakawi of the I don't know where he's working now. He's changed jobs recently, but he's one of the best writers in the country. But he did a podcast where he talked to Kerr at length, and Kerr touched on your Houston Rockets. Good commentary there that gives you a little insight on what the Warriors are thinking about the Rockets. We can get to that in the next segment. We can always hear from you as well. We see the tweets coming in, the texts coming in, and, of course, you can call. But 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Real too. I ain't gonna stop. I see the. I ain't gonna stop.
We the best music.
I said the time of the name.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, final hour, big show. Cowboys and Indians, Midtown, Taft at Gray is the place to be. The weather is beautiful. It's an inside-outside environment. They're going to show the games tonight. Lots of TVs where you can watch everything that's been going on. In the meantime, ESPN here till 7. We're here till 4. The Blitz till 7 with Fred and AJ who are in the house. John back in the studio. Promo team here giving away lots of goodies. It has been a fantastic day for sure.
It's a beautiful day outside. I'm loving it. Quentin had a question. He said, I like the his favorite move, favorite Harden move. Yep. He said, I like the reverse step back Euro step into a three-pointer. So I think he just combined them all. But a texter who didn't leave their name. Oh, it's O. O said, don't forget the rip through. That's a thing now that a lot of players are using.
Great call.
That James Harden really didn't come up with it, but he discovered that. And realize it and use it as a weapon. And now a lot of players do, and the NBA had to kind of change the rule because of it. But, yeah, I mean, just like we were talking about with the rip-through and the sidestep, he's really innovative on the offensive end. He really is.
Yeah, when the league catches up to the Euro step, he creates something else. Yep. So you're right. From an innovative perspective, he doesn't stand on his laurels and say, this is the only move I'm going to go to. He creates others. And if you're not familiar and well-versed with the rip-through, it's essentially – the Mark Jackson philosophy, hand down, man down. When you find the hand that's not up and down and it's in your space, the rip through and then going up for a shot is when he draws those fouls on the 3-point
line. Those little ticky-tack. I would hate that if Harden wasn't on my team, kind of like you hate Pat Beverly if he's not on your team.
Yep.
But it's genius, and if you can get away with it, get away with it. And I will give Baby Dwight some credit, our promotions guy Drew, when I was going in to get a drink. He did bring up the point that Harden's a really good passer too, so you kind of have to take that into account. He doesn't have a big window as you were disputing with Drew. It's only been a year and a half, but he is a very good passer on the offensive end. So he can score. He's creative. He can pass. And
even
he can defend.
Kevin McHale, who's had his issues with James Harden, will tell you his court vision. And McHale told me flat out the other day again to reiterate my point. He's the best offensive player in the game right now. But he said his court vision is it's special. The way he sees his teammates and he distributes the ball. In the past, the biggest knock has been he saw them, he got them the ball, they didn't make shots.
Yeah.
That used to frustrate him. And then to Drew's point, my counterpoint to that was, I'm good saying he's one of the best passers in the game today. You, for a lot of reasons, you can't say he's one of the best of all time simply because there isn't a big enough sample size, like you just covered. And the other thing is, everybody's going to go back to the numbers and say, statistically, you have to be with Stockton and Magic and Mark Jackson and guys that were distributors for a long period of time. He just hasn't done it for that long yet. Not to say when all is said and done, you look at his numbers, because of the volume of points they score and how many assists off those points, his numbers are going to go up.
Yep.
Big time.
Yep.
So we got that.
Crom2s on Twitter said, I'm thinking about pranking my dogs and telling them they're up for adoption. I do think that would be funny if you did that to your kids.
I did it to my boss once, and it worked like
You told
like
your
a
boss
charm.
He was up for adoption?
No, I told my boss that I had gotten an offer from another team. I even said it was the Toronto Blue Jays. I went in, scared the heck out of him. He went nuts. He's like, you can't leave. He went and did all these things, and then lo and behold, a couple years later, that was it. So you can see how that worked out for me.
So at first you're like, hey, I got a better offer. He's like, no, don't leave, Joe. April Fool's. And he's like, okay. All right. I hope you're ready. I'm going to slow play the hell out of firing you right now.
Yeah, I got your back, and I'm going to watch it as you walk out the door. I appreciate it. My hands are tight. I got your back.
Sorry, bud. There's nothing I can do. You know what? I can save your job. Oh, wait. April Fool's.
You remember that joke you played a couple years ago?
It's July. Doesn't matter. Whatever.
Jinx.
Okay. That's pretty funny, dude. God. Speaking of that, inside I was talking to Tracy and AJ, and she was like, "You guys are so funny." And AJ was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "I meant Barry and Joel." AJ was like, "Oh, that's it. That
hey,
ain't
give
right.
a shout out to Tracy Crowley. So glad to see her here. Nick, by the way, you missed out on your hug. Sucks to be you. For all your big timingness, you went back to the station too soon.
Unfortunate, but I had to come back.
Trace, we love the fact
you had to work. He's not big timing anybody.
No, he work on the side of the road when he had to take that little
detour? No, he had to drive back. This whole place around here is.
Weren't you telling the audience while he was driving back that he was taking care of business?
Well, I said he might stop for a moment and
I mean.
Handle it.
Yeah.
That's my. Why are you snitching now? You're dry snitching right now.
He's
that's
got
what
a
you're
podcast
doing.
Ability.
No, nobody's going back and listening to this show.
Oh, Nick is.
No.
That's the kind of producer he is. He's
Nick.
He's a perfectionist.
Nick.
No, I'm not listening.
I think he's not even in the studio.
I'm here.
Yeah, as long as I've been trying to get all of us to listen to the show so we can get better, like game film, that ain't happening. What is that pounding noise? Is that the construction?
Yeah, they're putting up some really sweet high-rise apartments across the street, and they just decided at 3-something in the afternoon to start pounding.
Huh.
I guess no one's napping anymore, so they're going to start working away.
There you go.
So other than that, I mean, Lenny wants to talk about – I don't want to talk about this.
Well, you just brought it up,
all
man.
Right.
You have to.
John Manziel had a workout today.
I'm out.
See? Had a workout today in San Diego.
You're feeling really good about yourself. You brought up the balls.
Yeah.
You brought up Johnny Manziel.
Man, it's always a good day when you can bring up them balls.
Okay.
other than that, I promised, and so we can deliver. Steve Kerr did a podcast in the last 24 hours where he addressed the Warriors and, amongst other things, the Houston Rockets. And some of his comments might not be what you were expecting, but Kerr had some pretty interesting details as to what he thinks of the Houston Rockets this season, Nick.
They are, you know, they're going to wrap up the one seed, and they've been dominant, and they've earned every accolade they've gotten. So they're definitely on our minds. I've said repeatedly, so is OKC, you know, and so is San Antonio, and everybody presents a different challenge. I think what's interesting with Houston is they're presenting a different challenge from what we've ever seen in this league. They're playing a style that I don't...
They're different than you, right?
They're way different from us. Yeah. They're the slowest team in the league, by the way. They're dead last in pace, which is not what you'd expect from a Mike D'Antoni team. But they've dialed in on this formula of... ISO ball every time with Harden and Paul. They're both, you know, great at it, obviously. You got all these shooters everywhere, and they've had great success. So, yeah, we got our eye on them, and I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah, the thing that really kind of took me back was they are last in pace.
That surprised me to hear that. I hadn't heard that audio yet. That's very surprising because it seems like they run pretty well. Now, I admit, I don't see the fast breaks that you saw last year, but it's a different with two point guards on the floor and everything else. It is a different dynamic, but I would have never guessed last.
Yeah, because everybody goes back to the D'Antoni Suns days and says 10 seconds or less. You got to get a shot up in 10 seconds or less, including when you inbound the ball or take it out of the basket. And yet when you hear that, you're like, it really takes you aback because, like you said, everybody thinks the points scored is equivalent to a very, very up-tempo style of play. And even though they do push the tempo, it's not as fast as you may think.
Well, and I think the point scored, too, has to do with the fact that you hear Matt Bullard talk about it a lot on the broadcast, but it's the fact that they're shooting more threes than twos on the year. Not on an average or in the game, but for the year, they have shot more threes than twos, and I think their points, the majority of their points come from threes and not twos.
Yep.
So that makes a big difference, too. I guess you don't have to run if you're trading threes for twos in both games.
Sure. That is absolutely the case. So we'll continue to roll on with the show. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about Josh Pesikoff and his staff for a long time, and I am here to tell you personally why you should check out Infuse Energy, because I made the switch a few months ago, and I'm telling you, it literally took hundreds of dollars off of my monthly bill for energy. They can do the same thing for you. Everybody's different, but when they can find you the rate that is very, very compatible to when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, whether it be for your business or your family, and they can set up a plan for you based on those statistics, you can save money. It's as simple as that. And you know how we all get frustrated when we call different energy companies and you get an automated system and you get put on hold forever and you get the runaround and you can't get any answers? It's not going to be that way with Infuse. You're going to get a human being on the phone. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to make sure that they identify all those things that I just said to try and find you the best plan that fits you and your family or business needs. They're 100% honest. That means if they lose your business to cheaper competition, they'll probably be the one to tell you that there are other companies out there that can help you and do a better job in terms of rates, even though they're going to give you all that customer service. They don't want to confuse you, deceive you, or obscure you to trick you. They just want to give you honesty so that they build a relationship and a friendship. And even if you don't join them right away, at some point down the road, hopefully you will join Infuse Energy and it will work out for you. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or check out InfuseEnergy.com. You mention ESPN 97.5 and you get a $25 bill credit right off the top. And, of course, they use 100% green energy. So you sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. It's really simple, gang. Infuse energy into your life.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. Nick is back at the studio after he was here earlier co-hosting with Dell, filling in for Raheel. Other than that, we are here, and everybody's been here all day. They will be here up until 7 o'clock at Cowboys and Indians. We have been telling you, and we always lead you in the right direction. Cowboys and Indians, one of our favorite spots here in the Houston area, and for good reason. The food is fantastic. The environment, unbelievable. On days
so
like
good.
This, you can be outside. You can be inside. Watch the games here tonight because of the fact that you're not going to have to fight for viewing to try and get to a screen. Plenty of screens to be seen to watch the games. You get this great food. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get my favorite, the non-quesadillas, 20% off. Lots of other deals. Budweiser's going to be out here. Carbach. And with all that being said, the man with a plan that makes this thing happen, Haas, is joining us right now. Haas, we appreciate everything from you. We appreciate the third shirt of the day, not the fourth. I said that in order to come on, you had to have a fourth one. It had to be purple. You didn't do that for me, but that's fine. You're a big U of H guy.
Yes.
So a week after the loss, are you feeling a little better? What is your overall assessment of the Cougar basketball program and what happened, what went down?
I think they're in the right direction. They're doing good. I mean, if Gray stays, I don't think he's going to, though.
Oh, he's graduating.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not. I mean, and then we have, what's the other guy's name? The center?
Yeah, Davis.
Davis.
Yeah, you got one of the Davis boys. He's done, too.
I mean, I think we're in the right direction. Samson's doing a good job. I think we should be good.
I think that was the main thing that I put an article on SportsMap, but the main thing I said was, for as much as everybody could feel disappointed because they had that game won against Michigan, but the biggest thing is Calvin Sampson did what he said he was going to do. He was going to return the program to prominence, get him back in the tournament, win a game in the tournament, and be a player in the conference and getting some recruits. And at least, you know, U of H for the last couple of years was basically known as a football school once they started turning around. Now you got basketball too.
Yeah, I mean, I think next year is going to be a good year. I think he's doing a good job. It should be ready to go. I mean, we're number, what, three seed?
There were six seed. But they were
They played Michigan, the third seed.
Yeah.
We lost by, what, 1 point?
Yeah.
In the last buzzer beater. So, I mean, we should be good to go.
Now, are you an alumni? Are you Okay, so do you donate? Do you give money?
No.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not that good.
If I graduated, I still wouldn't give money to the university.
Why?
But, well, I don't, just because I'm cheap. But if they were doing well, would that be more encouraging for you to maybe want to give money to U of H?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
But you go to games and you support.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah. I go to the football games more than I do basketball.
Okay.
But, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Now, I want to ask you about, and I want the people to know about Cowboys and Indians a little bit, because I want to know, how did you guys come up with the concept of it? Because it's like unlike anything we've seen in Houston. And Houston is known as the restaurant capital of America.
Like,
the food here, the restaurants here are some of the best in the world. And you guys came up with a concept that hadn't been done yet. How did that come about?
Well, I mean, Imran, my partner and my sister, they came up with a concept. They actually were like, if we're going to do Indian food, we have to do American food too.
Kind of thing.
And then, like, what should we name it? And, like, Cowboys and Indians. And we're like, okay, we have to put American food in, because let's say if me, you, and Joe went out to eat, and you want Indian food, I want a burger, he wanted a salad, you couldn't go to an Indian restaurant.
Right.
So we're like, let's put combine all three things together.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, one-stop shop.
Now, here's the thing, and I say this all the time in the live reads. I don't know if you've heard any of them, but I'm honest with the people when I talk about Cowboys and Indians and the food, because I had Indian food before, and I didn't like it. And when I got here and you were like, no, trust me, try this butter chicken, try the lamb vindaloo, you're going to like these things. And I was like, man, I don't know. Why is it different? I mean, we talked about the fact that these are family recipes and you've perfected them, but what is so different that makes the food good? Because people can be skeptical about Indian food. You either like it or don't, right?
Well, the thing is, like you said, it's family recipe. It's authentic food. It's mom and grandma's recipe. That's what it is. It's bottom line. If you came to my house, you would taste exactly the same thing you're tasting here.
Okay.
There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's all it is. It's like literally family recipes from scratch.
So are you still browbeating your relatives into making some of the food?
Or of course.
Is that, have you expanded that to like advance to a different process?
No, he's like, no. Hell no.
Free labor.
We mentioned this in the past, but it's worth mentioning again.
Well,
you literally have your relatives making some of the food. Tell the people about that.
Well, my mom, my aunt, she's in the kitchen actually today.
Yeah.
And mother, aunt, they all come in here and make food. I'm like, why? It's free labor.
Why wouldn't you?
I ain't mad.
Why should I pay somebody $15-$20 an hour when I can have free labor going?
And you know it's going to be good.
Am I allowed to say that? The right way.
Am I allowed to say that?
You already did, so it's already.
I'm just saying. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. I mean, it's free labor. Like, I mean, if Joe owned a restaurant or Barry owned a restaurant, and your wife was an amazing cook, why would you hire someone your wife and wife's could cook?
We don't have to worry about that.
Right. Plus, you keep her out of the house.
Neither one of our wives can cook good.
It's built-in separation.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
When I met my wife, you know what her specialty was? I'm not making this
cereal.
Up.
Cereal.
Eggs.
Toast.
Toast.
Oh. How is your specialty toast? Like, that's the first thing a 5-year-old learns how to make is toast.
Did she burn it?
No.
See, I said you can burn toast. Cheerios, at least you can't mess that up.
Pretty good toast. I'm not going to lie. It was.
All right, what's on Haas's mind sports-wise? What's bothering you right now? What's passionate on your mind right now in sports?
Well, it's the Rockets, basically. And I'm hoping to be in the Golden State Warriors. That's about it. I mean, we have to see Harden in the playoffs. Last 2 years, he's choked.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a playoff person? Is he going to be an elimination game player? Or is he going to be a regular season player? Those are the three questions.
I mean, you know, we've said all along that you can't erase those demons until you get back there, and they're about to get back there. How do you see it playing out if you see a Warriors-Rockets series?
Well, I think the Rockets will beat the Warriors if they have home court, which looks like the game 7 at home is going to be more important for the Rockets than the Warriors, I think. And you got to look at it this way too. If Spurs fall into the 7th seed or 8th seed and Kawhi comes back,
you guys are scared of the Spurs. I don't know why.
If Leonard's back,
you guys are more scared of the Spurs than you need to be.
What about OKC if they fall to the 7 or 8? They're built for playoffs.
I don't think Paul George or Carmelo Anthony is and Westbrook, that doesn't scare people. Carmelo Anthony is a shell of
that's the one.
Himself.
I think everybody is fearful of George.
So you're talking about
a
two-headed monster versus guys with three and four stars on their team and the depth that the Rockets have. OKC doesn't have any depth. They're not scaring anybody.
But I think OKC is built for the playoffs. Slow down your big your post-up players with George and Carmelo and Adams, and then you have Westbrook half court. If he can slow the game down, I'll be scared of Oklahoma, honestly.
Well, I know we're not scared of. We're not scared of the food and the environment here. Tell everybody what you got going on. I mentioned the great place to watch the games tonight, tomorrow night, the whole throughout the weekend, the hours, and everything that's going on with the specials with us being out here.
So we have happy hour all day long today going on. We have the Rockets playing at 7. We have Loyola Nevada at 6:30,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And then we have the other game at 6:30. I think it's 6.
My Aggies. Are my Aggies going to win?
Are playing.
Yeah. Are they going to win?
I don't want to use that name, so sorry.
You don't want to say Aggies?
No.
Why? That's not a curse word.
No, it is.
Final four, baby. Mark it down. Final four. Yeah, suck it, Haas. They're going to the final four. There's nothing you can do about it.
You're lucky U of H is not playing them. That's how it is.
Really? Oh, so when the Aggies beat Michigan, then Michigan beat U of H. Ergo, Aggies greater than U of H. What now? What?
Now, remember, we're not on XM.
What?
We're not on satellite.
Yeah, don't
curse
me.
I need you to keep this clean.
I
saw it building up.
Damn it. He wanted to curse me and say the F word. Don't you do it.
No, I would love to come see a comedy show. When are you going to invite me?
Oh, you son of a...
Oh, careful now.
Here's the thing. Haas is only saying that because I have invited him to like 5 shows.
It's
and he's
three.
Like, yeah, I'm going to go. And I'll even leave his name at the box office. I'm like, Haas plus one never shows up. Doesn't even come.
Because I'm not driving.
So disrespectful.
Because I'm not driving a Fiqua in 45, right?
That's so disrespectful.
I'm not driving a 45.
Okay.
Why don't you come on this side of town and do a comedy show?
I was at the improv. I headlined the improv on a Wednesday.
Is it too high class?
And left your name at the inbox and at the box office. You still didn't come.
Don't blame me. Blame Imran.
Always somebody else's
fault. Are you going to change this? This should be Cowboys and Indians and excuses. That's what this should be right now.
So what we're going to do is, for the rest of the night, Haas is going to be here, and he's short on golf shirts. So if you want to bring a couple of golf shirts for Haas along the way.
He needs an outfit.
He needs a couple of outfits. He's ruined several today by spilling because the food is so good.
Take care, folks.
We appreciate you, my man. Thanks for always being a loyal supporter of our show and the station as we continue to roll on here.
And I just want to thank ESPN and Barry and Joel and John Granato earlier and Dell and Lance. Thank you so much for supporting us with Jordan. Thank you so much. We appreciate everything you've done for us.
Man, thank you.
We appreciate you too, man.
Thank you so much.
It's awesome, dude.
No doubt
of course,
it.
The Blitz can be next to AJ, too. I don't forget about
that. I'm sure they're sampling the cuisines liquid-wise.
You know what's funny is everybody has come in and like, all right, Barry, what's the game plan? What do I do? What should I get? I'm like, well, what do you want? Do you want Indian food or do you want burgers and fries and all that?
Actually,
I give good advice, don't I? I tell them what to get. I'm like, start with the non-quesadillas, and then you go. There's a fork in the road. Do you go butter chicken or do you go chicken fried steak? What are you feeling?
Maybe
like?
You should forget about radio and comedy and just do restaurant.
Oh no way, dude! I go broke. There's
Haas
no
is
way.
Out.
I appreciate you.
Haas out. The microphone drop's about to happen. All right, we got one segment to go in the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Last segment of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Fred and AJ are in the house. Jong is back at the station, and we will take you home till 7 o'clock, so no need to adjust your dial. We are here having some fun. A lot of our great loyal listeners have been hanging out around here with us all day long, and it is a great environment here at Cowboys and Indians in Midtown.
Yeah, and weather couldn't be better. This is the time of year to be in Houston.
Yeah,
this
great.
Is. This is when you're like, okay, I'm glad I live here. And then in August, you're like, yep, I'm moving. This sucks so bad. I want to be – this is San Diego weather.
It really is.
That's the thing. This is what it's like in San Diego year-round. That's not fair. That's not fair. Somebody had a question. When is the next road show? I'm definitely going to take off work and come through. Well, first of all, you should have done that today, jerkwad. But the next road show is?
Tomorrow.
That's right. Tomorrow at Prime Social.
Westheimer.
Westheimer, especially if you like playing poker, come through. Come play some poker.
Westheimer, right past Hillcroft, way before Gessner, right by Molina's. We were there last Friday. We'll be there again tomorrow. Great environment. Very, very upscale feel to it, but it's not expensive. Only cost you a $10 membership fee. There's a chair fee that's like $6 or $7.
$16. Yeah, 16 total to play. It's like, fantastic. Like I think to get in the tournament, it's $120 roughly. $100 and 16.
They're doing the same thing again with the knockouts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Not too shabby. Are you a poker player? Do you you partake at all?
I'm not. I've never learned how to play poker, so I don't play.
You don't like blackjack? Not,
I like blackjack.
Dice?
I like blackjack.
Play craps in Vegas?
I'll play bar dice, but I've never played craps in Vegas.
What the hell is bar dice?
We used to play it on the road.
And you're just like,
baseball.
Come on, no, fat chick.
We don't have enough time to explain it all, but it's essentially it's like playing cards, but you play it for money, and you get certain things beat other things. No. You have to get a certain number to get it started. But we used to play in the back of the bus in baseball all the time in college.
Really? Yeah. Bar dice. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a big Midwest thing.
Okay. Yeah, I like Hold'em. I'm not great.
You play tomorrow?
I'm not, no, because I got to do the show, and I don't want to get there super early.
Okay.
But I like playing Hold'em. I'm not great at it. I'm trying to get better, you know? Yeah. I was just talking to a friend, AJ, about getting a book on, like, advanced Hold'em. And they were telling me there's one that where it'll talk to you about percentages and statistics and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to try to step it up, take my poker game to the next level. Maybe I'll be ready
for it. Those are the guys to talk to if you're going to do that.
Yeah, man.
They know what they're doing, especially Fred. He plays all the time.
Yep. NASCAR Johnny checking in. What up, Johnny?
What's up, Johnny?
He said, sucks I don't work in Houston anymore. Cowboys and Indians is badass. You damn right it is. Oh, a guy walking up with a Packers
damn
hat
right.
on.
Go and Pack, Joel's go, off. Brother.
Thumbs up, man. Packers out. Shut up. Packers, get out of here. Scram.
He's
beat
right.
It.
Let's do the comparison.
Beat
championships
it,
and division. Oh, no, we don't
beat
want to do
it,
all that.
Kid.
Nah, let's not do that. Hey, Syracuse plays tomorrow night, Jordan. Thanks for stopping by. All right.
Hey,
so,
real quick, am I crazy in saying that the Aggies can get to the Final Four?
Not at all.
Okay. Nope. I'm just making sure.
They have a legitimate shot. They got a better shot than Syracuse. So with that being said, look. The Aggies, as we've already covered this in previous shows, came in with a ton of talent,
yep.
Took a little bit of a tailspin, had some injuries and things to get. But when you're looking at their matchups, you look at what they got to do, they got a chance. They really do. They got a good team.
I'm glad you said that. That makes me feel better.
I'm not like you. I don't bash your teams, so that's fine.
I'm not bashing your teams. Like, you don't own any of them, do you?
No, it's fine. Just leave it there.
What? There's a new football conference or football league in town.
Explain that to me.
There's this thing called the Alliance of American Football.
Is this the ex-players getting involved?
No, this is Charlie Ebersol.
Dick Ebersol's kid.
Yes.
But I think he's got some ex-NFL players all over the place in the management of it.
Does he?
Yeah.
There's this whole rules thing. They want it to be a complementary league to the NFL. So they want it to be the minor leagues of the NFL. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened to the CFL? Because that's kind of what that is, right? Mm-hmm. If there's been, it's the NCAA and the CFL,
true.
And that's what that's the feeder systems for the NFL. So this Alliance of American Football is trying to be the next feeder system. They're doing their rules a little bit different. There's no kickoffs.
Okay.
So there's no kickoffs. Both teams start with the ball on the 25, but I know what you're thinking, Joel. You're going, aha, but what if I want to kick onside? What if I want to try an onside kick and get the ball back? Well, what they do is they start you on the 35 at 4th and 10. That's your onside kick. 4th and 10 from the 35, if you convert, ball's yours. If you don't, then the other team gets the ball.
So wait a minute. So you score, and instead of doing an onside kick, you get the ball right back.
On
but
the
it's
35,
fourth down on the
fourth
35.
And 10. That's correct.
That's interesting.
Fourth and 10. So you got to get the full 10 yards.
Yeah.
So there's also, they say they're getting rid of the extra point. So basically, there's no field goal kicker. If you're not kicking off, you're not doing onside kicks, and you're not kicking field goals, that's one less roster spot you got to pay for. I imagine that was more of a function of budget than it was being creative. But
Good point.
There's no more field goals, and they're going back to a 30-second play clock. So that's
really?
The rules that are different than the NFL. And they say, hey, you know what, we're just doing things that don't exist anyways or that most people don't care about in the game anyways. So they say most teams get to the line and run a play within 17 to 20 seconds. So why have 40?
Where are they on the catch rule? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's probably a much more simplified. They're like, yeah, he was close to it. We'll count it.
So Frank Gore signing with the Miami Dolphins. So he goes home to the scene of the crime where he was a Miami Hurricane at one point. Del could have told you that. He's going to sign a one-year deal to finish his career, I would say, presumably, with the Miami Dolphins. He's had a hell of a career. That's one of those guys that, when we've had the argument in the past about Eli Manning, but one of the guys that everybody kind of looks past when you look at Hall of Fame-type numbers, Frank Gore.
Steady, consistent, quiet. He's done it all in the background. Not a lot of hoopla, fanfare. I remember when he came out of Miami, I thought, man, that dude, he can ball out. He's not a guy that I would want to have to tackle.
And he doesn't avoid contact. I mean, he's one of those old-school kind of runners, too, where he'll put his head down and run through you.
And somebody texted and said he was 70-something yards away from being fourth all-time in rushing. And is he going to make it to the Hall of Fame, and is he underrated? And I would say yes to both.
I agree.
I think he will make it to the Hall of Fame, and I do think he's an underrated running back and an underrated football player. He's just never been about that limelight. He's never been about, hey, look at me. I want all the accolades for being a running back. He's been in the background, but he's done his job well. Real well.
No doubt about it. Other news of the day, we talked about this before. Johnny Manziel had a workout in San Diego in front of 13 NFL scouts. It remains to be seen if that's going to mean anything except for the fact that he's finally getting his life back together. Tony Romo was a exemption, sponsor's exemption on the PGA Tour, shot a 77, blew up on the back nine, 5 over 77, but he gave it a shot. Let me tell you something. Shooting 5 over 77 on a course with the conditions that the PGA players play on, it's no joke. He can play. I just don't know that he's a PGA-type player. The Spurs had a players-only meeting to try and figure out what the hell's going on with Kawhi. Either you're going to play, put up or shut up time for the Spurs.
They wanted to discuss Manu Ginobili's bald spot. That was the big topic.
Well, I'm telling you what, it's not a bald spot. It's a baboon's ass now, because wherever really you look at it, it looks like the back of a baboon.
It really does.
Yeah, it's pushing through the fur.
Somebody texted the show. Jordan will be able to help us with this. Somebody said, how does a company book y'all to come out to our location? I'm going to give your number from the text line. I'll pass it along. We'll get in touch with you, sir. Or ma'am, we'll definitely. Somebody said the Aggies have a better chance to out of Final Four than the Packers do of another Super Bowl. Ooh,
that's because you're already three quarters of the way there. Get too full of yourself.
And then El Jefe said, "Hey, Pac-Man Joel, if the Packers are so good, how many AFC South championships do they have? Huh?
Well, if they were there, they would have. Huh? They'd still be having them. Yeah.
Do what?
If they were in the NFC AFC South, they'd still be
kind
having
of the.
Yeah, I get it.
The
I
joke,
know exactly
Joel.
Right. Well, how many Super Bowls is the?
It doesn't matter.
Have?
You know what? They
it
can
doesn't
just go.
Matter. I want El Jefe.
You know what? The city of Houston could go Texas Aggie and claim that AFL championship, bro. Come at me now. What?
Dwight Howard, World a 30 and 30 night last night. 30 points, 30 rebounds. Then he got his 16th technical, and so for good measure, he's suspended for the next game.
All right, now, we were talking earlier with Haas about the playoffs, right? The brackets and who you don't want to face.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this. So in the NBA, when you have your playoff bracket, in there's two groups, right? There's the 1-8, 4-5, and then 3-6, 2-7. So if you're the Rockets and you hang on to that one seed, you're playing the 4, 5, and 8. That's who you're up against.
Assuming there's no upset.
Assuming there's no upsets. But when you think about it, if you're playing 4, 5, and 8, the Rockets will be facing the Thunder, the Pelicans, and the Jazz.
I don't think you want OKC in the first round, man.
Why?
It's not a given. There's a lot of credence to the fact they got to prove themselves in the postseason. So it'll be interesting to see.
Like to be the Warriors? In their bracket, it's 2, 3, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
They've got to go. It's the Warriors, the Blazers, the Spurs, and the Wolves.
No, not the Warriors.
Yeah, in that bracket, in that bottom bracket. It's
Blazers are the
four
teams
that would be in that group.
The Warriors and Rockets.
Yeah, the Warriors, Blazers, Spurs, and Wolves, that's a bit scarier.
It is.
So that might be worth hanging on to the number one seed, but with all these teams so jumbled together, man, it's going to come down to the last
day
to
figure
out.
It's just everything else is going to still have some time to sort itself out, and there are teams that are in right now that might be out when all is said and done in the next 2 weeks. So we'll continue to watch that, and we appreciate you. We appreciate Cowboys and Indians. And as always, we will turn it over to the Blitz, where Fred and AJ will take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
Peace!